is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at The Hill about Ukraine, about Vladimir Putin's intentions and options on Ukraine. These headlines inform us now about Ukraine. Biden seeks Western unity before Ukraine negotiations with Putin. This is London reporting, the Financial Times. Biden to consult EU allies to ensure he goes into crucial talks with strong transatlantic solidarity. We're told that in these next hours, on the 7th of December, Mr. Biden and Mr. Putin are going to discuss Ukraine, among other matters. Paul, you have written very carefully about Putin's options, Putin's point of view. He's assembled, we're told, by intelligence reports, more than 100,000 troops, perhaps as many intended as 175,000, on the border of Ukraine and in Crimea. The obvious intention is that he has a military option. That is the first option of four. What does that look like to the Kremlin? Good evening to you, Paul.
Good evening, John. I think one way to start this off is to say that Putin has been very clear about his long-run intentions. And his long-run intentions are that there is no independent Ukraine. Ukrainians are Russian. Ukraine and Russia cannot be separated. So his goal is clearly to return Ukraine to the Russian fold in a form of a new Russia. So that's where he's coming from. And as you say, he has options as to how to achieve this end goal. Option number one is simply an invasion. The invasion would be probably overwhelming. It would not be aimed at Kiev. It would be aimed at creating this land bridge in southern Ukraine. The disadvantage of the invasion is there'll be casualties. It may be a wake-up call to the West. Ukraine is not particularly unpopular in Russian public opinion polls, so I would personally rule out option number one, which is the military option.
All right, let's look at option number two. This is an economic option. How does it work for the Kremlin to use the economy? Knowing that Ukraine is a broken economy, knowing that Ukraine during the Soviet era was the centerpiece of heavy industry and still could be, knowing that Ukraine is divided by language and tradition into two unequal sectors, the Russian East speaking Russian and watching Russian media, and the Polish or Catholic West in and around Kyiv, parts of that Ukraine have been Poland at various times in the last several hundred years. So what is the economic option that Putin has?
Well, the economic option is part of this military option, because if Putin is aiming for this land bridge, that land bridge would shut down major ports that are currently open to Ukraine, and it would pretty much kill Ukraine's heavy industry, metallurgical industry. So I would include that as part of the military strategy. The strategies or the options that worry me most really are the defeat of a free and independent Ukraine without a shot being fired. This would be done through soft power, and we're already seeing how this is being deployed in Ukraine. There is currently a political battle going on in Kiev between oligarchs and the President Zelensky. Many of the intelligence forces of Ukraine were once a part of the Russian intelligence forces. So the opportunity for disinformation, unfortunately, I think soon it will come to assassination of political figures. So this takeover of Ukraine by soft power is what is particularly disturbing to me. Then there's the question of the Minsk Accords, which worry me as well. And I don't know if we want to get into them right now. I should note that we're now seeing clearly the importance of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, because, as you know, Biden and Merkel more or less conceded Nord Stream 2 to Putin, which means Putin has an energy stranglehold over Europe, which will attenuate any response from Europe to any aggression from the side of Russia.
So what we have here is, one, a military option that would also blockade the ports that Ukraine depends upon for an income for going forward. Two, that would be a soft power from within. Forces within Kyiv, within the apparatus of the military, intelligence, and government to pull Zelensky down and assert a Russian-favoring government. You note that Mr. Lavrov has said in these last days that 2014 was a coup against an elected government, and they're looking to stabilize Ukraine by reestablishing that elected government, or at least its inheritors. Three, it would be the obliging of Western Europe, depending upon Russia, for energy through the Nord Stream 2 and other pipelines, that would oblige Western Europe to force Ukraine's hand and no longer resist Russian aggression. And then the fourth option, Paul, what is that? The fourth option of pressuring France and Germany about the Minsk negotiations. I do want to enter into that. What does Russia want from the Minsk option?
This relates to the famous telephone call, which will take place tomorrow between Putin and Biden. The Minsk Accords were agreed to, if you want to say that, under the Russian gun, because Russia had invaded, was in the process of invading Ukraine with regular troops. The Minsk Accords, if depending upon how you interpret them, but if you use the Russian interpretation, it is that these breakaway provinces of the Donbas would be readmitted under a new constitution to Ukraine. These breakaway provinces would have veto power over any major internal or external policy choice, which means the end of an independent Ukraine, because only actions that would be favored by Russia could be approved. My concern personally is that will be the easy way out for the United States and the West, because there will come a point where the West asks, is Ukraine really worth all this trouble? And one way to sort of get out of this is to concede to Putin that the Minsk Accord should be implemented as interpreted by the Russian side. So this should be a major topic of discussion tomorrow. I would not be surprised if it doesn't even come up. The Minsk Accords, which were coordinated by France and Germany, are a major sticking point, and it will be something I will keep a close eye on tomorrow.
The puzzle then, Paul, about the options for Mr. Putin right now, it appears that he has a strong hand. We have 30 seconds. Do you measure the night before the conversation that Mr. Putin is playing a strong hand?
He's playing a very strong hand, and to tell the truth, I don't think we have any counter plans. So it's a very bad situation. It's very troubling, and I fear for the worst.
Paul Gregory, writing at The Hill. Paul is at the Hoover Institution, measuring the night before the conversation between the President of Russia's Federation and the President of the United States. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.